And hey, good evening to you guys that are coming on with us tonight. Hey, Pastor Karen, Lord bless you, lady. Good to see you tonight. Thanks for watching with us tonight. Amen. We'll let some people kind of have a few minutes to join with us as we get started in our Wednesday night Bible study. Hey, Bob, thanks for watching tonight, my friend. Lord bless you, too. Amen. Has God been good to you today? I hope you've had a great day, and I hope everything's going well for you. Man, it's been a busy day for me. I know most of you probably have your days, too, like that, but it's a good day, but it's been busy, so I kind of catch my breath here a little bit as well. But amen. Pray for us. Amen. God's amazing. We're still walking through some things, but we know that God's in control and he has a plan and a purpose, and he's made promises to us, and we just have to be patient sometimes. And that's a big word, isn't it? Patience. And we talk about patience, especially, you know, as pastors, we talk about patience for people, but then when you have to walk through things yourself, it's putting that shoe on the other foot sometimes is a little bit more difficult, isn't it? But hey, we're thankful for you guys that are joining with us. Hey, Pastor Augustine Kabaha, and my friend, amen. He'll be coming on live here in just a little bit with his service. Wayne and Claire, good to see you tonight. I'm just going to allow just a couple of seconds here for some people to join with us. If you have a prayer request, if you want to type that in real quick in the comments, or just say pray for me or pray for a family member. You don't have to be specific, but let us know if there's something we can pray with you about. We'd love to do that, come along beside you. So type that in the comments, or just say hi to us if you'd like to, or wave at us, give us a smiley face. Anyway, if you hear something good, definitely say amen, or type in a comment every now and then. I might ask you to type something in the comment section as well. But amen. Hey, Jeanette, good to see you tonight watching. You and Don, Lord bless you guys. Appreciate you so much. Well, amen. Well, it's springtime, right? And so we're enjoying all the pollen and everything else that's in the air. So if you have allergies, I'm so sorry for you. I have year-round allergies. It's just something I inherited. Constantly you'll hear me clear my throat at times, and just all those wonderful things that my mom and dad blessed me with. And my kids say, Dad, you're blessing me with it too. So hey, pray for our two little grandsons, little Judah in Arizona. He's had a cold and some coughing and runny nose, so pray for him tonight. He needs a healing. And then our little Stetson, our newest little grandson, is he's with his mom and dad down on the coast, but he's got some kind of skin rash that's formed on the side of his face, and I don't know if it's allergic reaction to something, but pray for little Stetson and little Judah, if you don't mind, when we go to the Lord in prayer. If you have a need, definitely let me know. I know we're praying for Sandra. We keep praying for you, girl, knowing that God's going to touch that and meet that situation in your knee. So we lift up Sandra tonight. I pray for Becky Cornelius, who's in the hospital with an infection and also had some pneumonia. So pray for Becky tonight. She needs a touch in her body as well. And then also Anita. Anita needs prayer. Anita Reyes. So keep her in your prayers as well. And I'm sure there's other needs in our church. But let's go to the Lord, and maybe some others will jump on here in just a minute. Oh, don't forget about Dominique, Misty's son, who broke his wrist in a couple of places, and just going to see an orthopedic surgeon to figure out what they're going to do about that. So pray for Dominique tonight, that God would just bring healing to his wrist and his arm for this situation. But amen. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, thank you tonight for this wonderful evening. You've allowed us just to live, breathe, have our being and move, and for you, Lord. And I just honor you tonight, and we just say thank you, Lord, for every moment that we have to spend with you in prayer, in worship, in word, Lord, and studying your word. And I just pray that tonight you just, God, reveal your word to us, Lord. Just illuminate it even more so. Give us a little deeper understanding of what it is that you're saying, Lord, as we were doing a Bible study tonight. Lord, I just pray you just draw us by your spirit. Open the word of God to us. Lord, just speak to those that are watching. Lord, whatever people are needing from you tonight, spiritually, physically, emotionally, maybe there's some financial needs that's going out there as well. Just pray you touch people, bless them. Lord, speak to them. Sandra, heal her knee. We just pray for that. Lord, we just know you have all things under control, and we just ask you to bless her, her husband as well, Lord, who's been battling cancer for a number of years, doing well. But we just pray that you just completely rid cancer from his body. Lord, for Dominique, we just pray for healing in his wrist. God, those broken places, I pray that it doesn't require any surgery, no pins or anything like that. I just pray you to bring healing to his body tonight. For Anita, touch her. You know everything Anita Reyes needs from you. For Becky Cornelius, you know what she needs with this infection. God, just bring healing to her body. Just praise you for that. Lord, touch your people tonight. Touch our church. Lord, lead us and guide us and direct us and work out all the plans in your timing, Lord. That's what's key, in your timing. We don't always understand that part, but Lord, in your timing, do what you do best, Lord, and what you have planned for this body of believers. And we just thank you tonight, Father, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, right? Hey, Charlotte, Sandra, good to see you. Glad you finally made it on. All right. Now we can get started. Good deal. So, hey, we've been talking for the last few weeks about covenants of God. Of course, last week we actually took a break from that. I had a special missionary guest with us, and we enjoyed that time of interviewing our guest who's going into the mission field. But tonight I want to get back on our covenants of God. This is actually part four of our covenants of God series. And tonight is going to be talking a little bit about the Abrahamic covenant. Lance Wallnau said this, and there's a picture, and I wish I had it up there to show you now, but it's a picture of Abraham with his arms raised, and he says, "Follow me. I don't know where I'm going." You ever feel like that sometimes, that God's asked you to go somewhere or do something, and it's like, I don't have no idea what he's wanting me to do or where he's wanting me to go, but I'm just going to do it out of faith and obedience. And that's kind of Abraham's story. You know, God asked him to leave his land and to follow him into a place that he's never been before. But by faith, he trusted God. And he walked out and left his family and just took whatever God had him to take, and took his nephew and just went out into a place that God had called him to go, because God had a plan, God had a purpose, and God had a promise to fulfill. And God always finishes what he starts. Aren't you glad for that? God always fulfills his purpose and plans for your life. And if he's ever made a promise to you, friends, and the Bible is full of promises, God will fulfill the promises that he has made for your life. You know, we're talking about a covenant tonight. So in one sense, a covenant is an agreement between two parties, right? When you come into a covenant with somebody, you're coming into an agreement with somebody. Now, a lot of us understand that there are a couple of different kinds of covenants that are mentioned in the Bible and just in general in life itself. One is a conditional covenant, and one is an unconditional covenant. A conditional covenant, or we might call it a bilateral covenant, is an agreement that is binding on both parties for its fulfillment. Both parties, in other words, agree to fulfill certain conditions. And if either party fails to meet their responsibilities, the covenant is broken, and neither party has to fulfill the expectations of the covenant. Like said party of party one has to meet the needs of said party of party two, and said party of party two has to fulfill the needs for said party of party one. And, you know, there's all these, you know, all these fine lines. You know, if you've ever signed any contract, for buying a home or for purchasing a car or just for anything, it's just amazing how much legal matters go into covenants nowadays, because somebody's always looking for a loophole in a covenant. I just feel like that people are always looking for loopholes in the covenants that they have made with God as well. You know, we're a New Testament covenant people, but we understand that the Old Testament covenants were preceding and foreshadowing the new covenant that was coming through Jesus Christ. But you know, people today are always looking for covenant loopholes with their relationship with Jesus. Well, you know, Lord, you didn't really say this, did you? You didn't really say I had to do it this way, did you? Or maybe I can do some of this and still be in covenant relationship with you. But friends, if you're in a conditional covenant relationship with God, then you must fulfill the covenant responsibilities that God has asked you to fulfill. Now, there's also not only a conditional covenant, but there's an unconditional covenant or a unilateral covenant, which is an agreement between two parties, but only one of the two parties has to do something. Nothing is required of the other party. In essence, the responsibility lies solely upon the shoulders of one part of the party that's in agreement with the other party. You see, friends, after God made a covenant with Noah, evil still continued to run through the world. You know, as man began to repopulate the earth, you know, evil was still there, because there's always been an evil presence as far as Satan is concerned. But evil still continued to find its way and to trace itself downward through the spiral of humanity. And it kind of leaves us to wonder, how will God restore his good works? That's a good question. How will God restore his good works? Well, we understand the essence of that because we've got the Bible and we've got the old covenant understanding of what God did because of words that have been passed down from generation to generation. But you know, God put in a rescue plan. Even in the Old Testament, God put in a rescue plan, and he calls Abraham into a covenantal relationship because it was a part of God's rescue plan for humanity, which was ultimately what? Another foreshadowing of the rescue plan that God was bringing through his son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that we have a rescuer and his name is Jesus? Amen. He came to make a way for us where there seemed to be no way. He came to what? Give us grace and mercy and forgiveness of sins when we deserve none of those things, but he rescued us. Oh, I need you, Jesus. We used to sing a song, and we haven't sung it in a while, but I know my kids taught me this song. Is I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else could I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Oh, capture me with your grace. I will follow you. Aren't you thankful for Jesus coming to our rescue? Amen. And can I tell you, that plan still continues today. But when we look at the covenant that God made with Abraham, we see a rescue plan that God put into place for humanity. But you know, ultimately, even at that point, for the nation of Israel. This was a redemptive partnership, we could say, between God and Abraham that progressively developed. If you look through Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 and Genesis chapter 17, you can see how this redemptive plan progressed through time. Now, I want to read to you actually through Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, because this is where the actual covenant is found to begin with. And in Genesis chapter 12, New Living Translation, just the first three verses of Scripture to begin with tonight, says that the Lord has said to Abram, this was before he changed his name to Abraham, he said, leave your native country. In other words, leave the place that you know of, the place where you were raised, the place that you're familiar with. Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family. And look what he said. Go to the land that I will show you. He didn't even know where he was going. Wow. That took a step of faith, friends. Amen. You ever just let God lead you like that? Is God just, you know, says, follow me? You ever just got in your car sometimes and just say, you know what, God, where do you want me to go today? I know that's kind of crazy, and you don't want to waste gasoline, and you know you don't have time for this. But you know, it would be interesting to see sometimes if we just started our day and say, okay, God, what are you doing today? Where are you leading me today? What are you wanting me to say today? Who are you wanting me to have encounters with today? He said, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. He said, all, listen, I mean, this, listen to the power of this covenant. He said, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, not much responsibility there, is there, friends? Not much weight to carry there, is it? But the Lord said, Abraham, the covenant that I am making with you will affect all the families on the earth, and they will be blessed through the covenant that I am establishing with you. You see, when we look at this covenant tonight, we can see that God made some promises to Abraham that included, first of all, three concepts. We could say it this, three features of the covenant, three promises that God made. And here's what that covenant, first of all, established. First of all, it made a promise of land. I will make you, he said this, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. You see, first of all, God commanded Abram to leave his homeland of Ur, which is really considered modern-day Iraq, for the land that God would show him. It was a specific land, an actual property with dimensions, and you can see more of that in Genesis 15 and even Genesis 13. You see, God gives Abraham all the land that he can see, and the gift is declared to be forever. Friends, can I tell you, when God gives you something, he's not going to renege on his promise to you. You see, God made a promise, a covenant promise with Abraham, if he would leave his father, leave his native country, leave his relatives, and would go into the place that God was leading him, that God would give him this land. So this was a part of the promise of the covenant, the feature that God made when he made this covenant with Abraham. I mean, this was on God. God said, if you'll go, well, you know, maybe there is that part that we have to go, but he says, if you'll go, I'll give you this land. He didn't only promise him land, but he also promised him descendants. God promised Abram that he would be a great person and a great nation. Even though at this moment he was childless, Abraham was promised a progeny. He was promised a heritage, a lineage, a line of people that would follow him for years and years and years. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. The Lord took Abram, if you look in chapter 15, as he had come back and was reassuring this covenant promise, and Abraham was saying, there's nobody in my lineage but a servant named Eliezer, and you know, he's the only one that's going to reap. I don't have a son. But God made this promise even to Abraham or Abram in chapter 15. Look what he said in verse 5. The Lord took Abram outside, and he said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. You ever try to count stars? Even on a beautiful starry night, wow, it's crazy, isn't it? There are stars out there that, you know, that we can barely see twinkle in the sky, and there are galaxies, you know, that we don't know nothing about. There are billions upon trillions upon, what is after that, gazillions? You know, there is so much in the universe that we can't even ascertain, but look what the Lord said. Look into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. You see, God promised that the number of Abraham's children would rival that of even the dust of the earth in verse 16. He said that nations and kings would proceed from him in chapter 17. It is significant that the promise was given to an aged, childless couple. Can I tell you, friends, if you're still breathing, God still has a plan for your life. Amen. If you're still walking and still can communicate, friends, God has something for you to do. Don't give up on the promise and the plans. God needs you, whether you're 9 or 90, friends. God needs you, and he has given you promises, and he's given you provision, and God wants to bless you just like he did Abraham and Sarah. The Bible says in Romans 4:20 that Abraham did not waver through unbelief. I know there were these moments, you know, he's thinking, how is this all going to work out? You know, I'm an old man. My wife is old. We're not able to conceive children. But the Bible says that he didn't waver through unbelief. And his wife Sarah considered him faithful who had made the promise. I know she laughed that time, but you know, I just think deep down inside, they knew that God could, even though they tried to take matters in their own hands. But you know, they found out that God is faithful to his word. Maybe you ought to put in the comments section tonight, God is always faithful. God is always faithful, friends. Can I just encourage you tonight? Don't waver. Don't give up the boat. Don't give up the ship. Amen. Don't evacuate. Just hang on. God's working all things out together for your good, for the good of this church, because he has a plan. The Bible says that Abraham was justified by his faith in chapter 15, verse 6 of Genesis. And he and his wife welcomed Isaac, the son of promise, into their home when they were 190 years old. One was 100 and one was 90 years old, respectively. Think about that, friends. Welcome to son. Can you imagine having a son at that age and raising him up and through elementary school and, first of all, chasing him around the house, changing diapers and, you know, and all the wonderful things, and then, you know, seeing them through their teenage years, well, you terrible twos and then the teenage years. But can you even imagine raising children and then getting them in college and, you know, and all these things? But yet, they believed God and they trusted God, friends. And that was a part of the covenant promise that God had made to them, that he would give them a son. And it might have taken 25 years for that promise to come to pass. But friends,
it came to pass because God made a promise. You know, God made a promise to this church, friends. And, you know, it's been a year or so since we've seen some of the things that we want to see. But, friends, God made a promise to us. And, you know, I know, Brother Wayne, we talked about assumptions. And, you know, I've been making all kinds of assumptions. But I'm just believing that what he said he would do, he will do. And it will come to pass in his timing and in his ways. We just got to keep trusting. Can you imagine being Noah and for maybe 120 years building a boat, amen, believing that there's a flood coming when you've never seen a flood, never seen rain, and just all the ridicule? That's a long time. I hope it don't take 120 years. I believe that it's going to be a matter of short time here. But you see, friends, God had a plan. God had a plan, and he made a promise in this covenant that he would give Abraham land, he would give him descendants, and third of all, he would give him, we could say, blessings or even redemption. You see, thirdly, God promised that Abraham would receive his blessing as well as mediate it to all the families of the earth. The focus on Abram is so central that God said, I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you. You see, friends, this man became the unique channel of reciprocity from God. Cursing would come to those who treated Abraham and his descendants with contempt, but blessing would flow to those who treated them with favor. You see, ultimately that pointed to Jesus Christ, right? Amen. There were those that, you know, that blessed him and believed in him and trusted him, but there were those that cursed him even up on the cross, friends. But friends, I believe that when we turn our hearts to Jesus, there are blessings that come back to us. And if we bless God's people, Israel, oh, wow, isn't there so much animosity in our world today, friends? Even in this nation of the United States, Lord, we need to be praying for the nation of Israel, praying for the Jews. They're not perfect people. They've made a lot of mistakes. We've made a lot of mistakes. But they're still God's chosen people. And I just believe that, friends, redemption comes through them. And that's who Jesus came through. You see, these are features of the covenant that God made. Hey, Misty, good to see you. Hey, Laureen, good to see you. These are part of the features that God made through this covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. So I also see there are three areas of blessing, and these really run hand in hand with what we just talked about, the three promises of features. But there's the national blessing. This covenant anticipated that Abraham and his descendants would not only dwell in a land that they can call their own, but that he would become a special nation in the work of God. You see, friends, God was going to make him into a great nation. You see what Abraham did in obedience and how Abraham followed the leading of the Lord, it affected a nation. There was a national blessing because of one man that believed God and trusted God and stepped out in faith with God. And it was accounted unto him as a blessing, and God blessed him for it. You see, friends, I believe there are blessings that come with covenants. When we make covenants with God and through the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ, there are blessings that come when we obey God, blessings for our nation. Yes, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, right? If our nation would just call on the one true God, you know, in unity, and there are millions of people calling on the Lord in this nation. But I just believe that when we come together in unity, there's blessings for this nation. You see, on the same day that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, it is said, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. You see, although the land had never belonged to Abram in his lifetime, and had to buy a portion of that land, even to bury his wife Sarah when she died, but the title deed of the promised land would be passed on from generation to generation. His son Isaac in Genesis 26, and then from Isaac to Jacob in Genesis 28, and later on to Israel under the leadership of Joshua when they came in, possessed the land, and captured the cities. You see, there was this national blessing that this land was God's promise to Abraham and to the Hebrew people. There was also not only a national blessing, but there was a personal blessing. The Abrahamic covenant also promised Abraham that he would accomplish great things. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Anybody here want to be a blessing for the Lord? Anybody here want to be a blessing to your family? Anybody here want to be a blessing to your church? How about to your neighbors? You know, people are looking. I know people. Some people are looking for handouts, but for the most part, I believe people are just looking for somebody just to befriend them and just to bless them. You know, a lot of people are just looking for a community of believers or a community of friends. that they can just, you know, build relationships with. And I believe we need to be those people as a church. We need to be a people that blesses one another, bless each other with our words, bless each other with our actions. Maybe bless each other with material things, but bless each other with prayers, definitely with God's word. You see, God made marvelous promises to the patriarch of his chosen nation that he would be the father of a famous nation, and his name would be great because his life would be marked by God's personal blessings. Well, show me somebody that's honoring God with their life. Show me somebody that's blessing God with their actions, and I'll show you somebody that the blessings of God are on their life. You see, God wants to bless you tonight. Did you know that? God wants to pass on to you the blessings that maybe others have been blessed with. You see, God needs you, but God wants to bless you. God needs you because he wants to bless you. Maybe we could just say it that way. It's not that God needs anybody to do anything, but God needs you to be a blessing because God has blessings for you. And God wants you to be a channel of his blessings to other people. And like Abraham, many people. So there's a national blessing, there's a personal blessing, and then there's also the universal blessing. You see, God promised Abraham that he was going to start a spiritual movement through him that would influence every nation on the earth. In Genesis 12 and 3, and I know we've kind of already hit it on this just a little bit, but he says, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." One writer said that God's covenant with Abraham reached beyond him to humanity in general. Those people and nations which treated Abraham well and the nation which would descend from him would know God's favor. On the other hand, those people and nations who mistreated Abraham and his descendants could expect the curse of God to rest on them. And you can see that in Genesis 12 and 3. Friends, Israel is the apple of God's eye, and blessed are those that bless them and pray for the peace of them. And friends, I believe God honors that still because God's made a covenant with that nation, and it's a universal covenant, and I believe nations that support them are blessed of God. And that's been one of the great beneficial factors of this wonderful nation is that we've been a protector and a provider for the children of Israel, and I believe that God has blessed us and honored us for that. Let's shift here just a little bit before we run out of time here. We're getting a little bit long tonight. But I also see in this covenant, there's the power of this covenant. There's a word, and it's called Brit Bein Habitarum. It's a Hebrew word, Brit Bein Habitarum. Let me pull my deal here up again. And it means the covenant of parts. It's a Hebrew word that means the covenant parts. Genesis chapter 15, if you looked over there with me for just a minute, and beginning in verse 7 of chapter 15, then the Lord told him, Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, out of the Chaldeans, to give you this land as your possession. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? The Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. Verse 12, as the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. This was centuries before. He said, but I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. Look at verse 17. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch that passed between the halves of the carcasses represented the Lord. So the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River, the land now occupied by the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. You see, Brit Bein Habitarum, which means the covenant of parts, is actually one of the most important events in Jewish history. In the covenant that God told Abraham about the destiny of his descendants, they would be strangers in a land where they would become oppressed and a slave, but ultimately God would help redeem them and they would inherit the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. You see, it is said that when parties would enter into a covenant, they would divide an animal in two, and then they would both pass between its parts to seal the deal of the covenant. You see, when we look at this story, the Bible says that Abraham fell off into a sleep after he was told to bring the three-year-old heifer, the three-year-old ram, the three-year-old goat, the pigeon and the turtle dove, as he was to bring these things. And as he divided the heifer and the ram and the lamb in half and laid the parts side by side, the Bible says that the Lord caused him to go into a deep sleep. And as he awoke and it was so dark, he saw a burning torch and a flaming pot. And he saw the Lord walk between these halves by himself. You see, what God was saying is that I don't need you to fulfill this covenant agreement. I'm going to take the responsibility to do it myself. You see, friends, God made an unconditional promise to Abraham that God was going to fulfill this covenant because he walked through those halves on his own to seal this covenant deal with Abraham. Can I tell you, friends, Jesus went to the cross by himself. He didn't need anybody else hanging on the cross, although there were two thieves that were there because of their crimes and sins. But Jesus went to the cross to seal the deal for you. Amen. He walked through hell, conquered death, hell, and the grave. Friends, I believe he divided hell in two, if I can say that so to speak. And he came out of that grave alive and well, and he had sealed the deal with his blood and his sacrifice. You see, Abraham might have been asleep, might have been groggy, but sometimes, friends, that's when God does his best work. Amen. When we're a little out of it, in a sense, to speak spiritually. Amen. God speaks to us in our moment of confusion and cloudiness and darkness, friends. It's in those moments that we are living in despair that God reminds us that he's got this, that he's still in control. Amen. If we'll just trust him in the process, even when we don't see the full expectation of it, if we'll trust him in the dark moments and in the valleys of our lives, God will what? He will remind us that he is still in control, and he's made a covenant with us through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, Abraham watched. Abraham never signed the covenant because he passively watched while God signed it for both of them in the ritual. Amen. Jesus has already paid that debt for us, a debt he did not owe, but he paid it all for us, and he signed it with his blood. So there's this covenant, this ceremony that takes place, this Brit Beam, Habertirim, the covenant of parts, as God was reiterating to Abraham, I've got this. I've got this. Let me just finish up, because there was this unconditional covenant, this unilateral condition that God made. And yes, he basically said, it's all on me. But there was still some responsibility for Abraham. Genesis chapter 17. Let me just finish up with these few verses of scripture, verses 9 through 14. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. Genesis 17, verse 9. God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. He said, this is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. Verse 13, all must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. God says, I've got this, but I need you to fulfill some responsibilities for me. You know, friends, God can do it all. He's done it all. But I believe that we as God's people have responsibilities that he wants us to fulfill. He didn't call us just to sit on the sidelines. He didn't call us just to be just to view what's going on. But he's called us to participate in the process, to follow him. You know, to follow him means you got to get up and move, right? Take up your cross and follow him. There's a responsibility for us as his people to fulfill. And there was a responsibility that God gave to Abraham and to every male descendant from then on out for every generation that they were to fulfill. And the first was that they were to be obedient. Your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. The Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice. We've got to obey God's word. For us as New Testament believers, our responsibility in the covenant that we have with God is to obey God's word. What is God saying to us? What did God say to us? What is he saying to us now? We sometimes we forget that there is a high responsibility that God has for all of us as believers and as witnesses, is to be obedient. To obey, that's a big word, I know it is, but to obey, what has God said to you that you need to be doing for his kingdom? So your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. And then for the children of Israel, for Abraham, he said in this covenant that here's another thing that you must do, is that each male among you must be circumcised 8 days after their birth. They were to be circumcised in the foreskin of their flesh. Circumcision is still something that, we practice, even today. I'm not saying that's a spiritual ritual, but there are health benefits to circumcision. That's personally between you and your doctors, or between you and what you believe. I do believe there are some health benefits to circumcision. But at the same time, we know that God's not asking us to be circumcised in the foreskin of our flesh, but he's asking us to be circumcised in our heart. But for the Jews, circumcision was more than just a rite of passage. For them, it was a sign of their covenant with God. They knew, and this was a downfall later on after they came out of Egypt, that circumcision had passed, and, it had to be renewed. And, even Moses at one point, failed to circumcise his son, and, the angel would have destroyed him if it wasn't for his wife. But, we have to understand that there is this understanding that in the Old Testament, it was a mark of the covenant that they had entered into with God. You see, in the Bible, circumcision almost always refers to a physical act. And this is true of Paul's writings as well. But in at least three passages, he alludes to circumcision of the heart, a spiritual circumcision, Romans 2, 28 through 29, Philippians 3:3, and Colossians 2:11. He discusses this spiritual circumcision. Matter of fact, Colossians 2:11 says this: in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. This circumcision is not done by human hands, but by Christ, and it is not just males, but all believers have experienced this circumcision of the heart by Christ. You know what the sign of the covenant is? It's the circumcision of our heart. Our hearts have been made new. These old stony hearts have been made into hearts of flesh, have become new hearts. We are new creation. And when God looks at our hearts, he sees that we have been circumcised on the inside. Circumcision means different things to different people. To some, it was and still is a rite of passage into adulthood. But to others, it is simply just a simple medical procedure. But to the Jews, it was and it still remains a sign of God's covenant with them. You see, just like God gave the sign of the rainbow in the sky to Noah and to every generation after that he would not flood the whole earth again at one time, circumcision was a sign to the Jews through the Abrahamic covenant that God had come into a covenant with them, that he would bless them and he would take care of them, and they would be a blessing to the nations. And Israel is a blessing if people realize just the blessings and the technology and the inventions and just all that Israel brings to the table through that wonderful land. But friends, can I just encourage you today? Just circumcise your hearts to the Lord. Turn your hearts to God. Amen. If you're in a covenant relationship with him tonight, if you're a following believer, hey, Mom, good to see you tonight. Veronica, good to see you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have made a covenant relationship with him by confessing your sins and repenting and accepting him into your heart, then can I just encourage you to keep that heart circumcised and fresh before the Lord? If you're not a believer tonight, then tonight you can circumcise your heart by just giving your heart to the Lord. Saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Make me white as snow. Fill me with your presence. I want to follow you and be in covenant relationship with you. Aren't you thankful for the covenants that God made with his people throughout the old all the way into the new? The old is still a foreshadow of what was to come through Jesus Christ, but it gives us some great understanding of the relationships that God made and the conditions and just the agreements that God had with his people while they were here on the earth. Let me pray with you tonight in closing. Father, I just thank you tonight that you are faithful to fulfill the plans and the purposes and the promises that you have made unto us. God, your covenants are longstanding. They're everlasting, Lord. And I believe that tonight, as we stand here tonight in covenant relationship with your Son, Father, that Lord, that covenant, it is binding and it means something to us. And we never want to take for granted the relationship that we have with Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that if there's somebody watching tonight that has not come into a covenant relationship with your Son, that they would just find this moment just to be compelled and drawn by your Spirit. To make this decision to follow Jesus, to confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, to repent of their sins, and to accept Jesus into their heart. It's that simple. If they'll just do that tonight and believe it sincerely and honestly, Lord, then I believe that tonight they'll be saved and their hearts will be circumcised and they will be in a covenant agreement, Father, with you and your Son and your Spirit throughout all eternity. Thank you tonight for those that are watching, Lord. I just pray you would encourage your covenant people tonight. God, just let them know that you're still in control and that, Father, the plans and promises and the purposes that you have laid out for their lives and come into agreement with their lives will be fulfilled because you always keep your word. And I just bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, thanks for watching tonight. I appreciate you for being on with me tonight, and thanks for joining with me as we study God's word. And Lord bless you, man. Just keep your faith. Hang in there. Be patient. Trust the Lord. Walk in faith. And hope to see you Sunday morning at 10:30 in our service at the Holiday Inn Express off of Interstate 30 and St. Francis Avenue. Would you come? Please come be with us. I'm going to tell you why God meets us in a hotel room. Can you believe that? Or in a hotel meeting room. God meets us there as we worship him and preach his word. So you're welcome to come and be a part of that. Lord bless you, man. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.